Well, good morning, ladies. My name is Marie Rosales, and I am from Calvary Chapel, Chino Valley. This workshop is on event planning for multiple generations, and I will be sharing about the spiritual foundations that have gone into our event planning. And when I am through my woman's ministry administrator will give practical advice concerning planning a woman's event. As we begin, allow me to share the foundation that we have built our ministry on, especially as it concerns having women's events in our church. When our church first began, it was built on what we call four pillars. We started with Jesus as the foundation and everything else being built upon him. 1 Corinthians 3:11 was one of our foundational scriptures, and it clearly stated our purpose. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. With Jesus as our foundation, we added what we call our four pillars. My husband wanted to guard against building on the flesh, so we were careful to build our ministries on the love of Jesus Christ, who is our sure foundation. 1 Peter tells us, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." Because of this, all of our events are carefully built on honoring and being led by Jesus through his Spirit. This may seem very obvious, but you would be surprised on how many ministries performed that are really not built on glorifying the Lord, but simply attracting people to the event. When this is so, what happens is that we slowly begin to entertain goats, but stop caring for spiritual growth of the sheep. Of course, we want goats to show up so that we can reach them. But if Jesus is not the center of everything, then our event is not really any different than any worldly event. With this in mind, let me share with you what we call our four pillars: the Word, worship, witness, and witness. First, the Word. In our events, we want to make sure that God's Word is the center of the activity. This means that we will make sure that the Word is taught, not just mentioned. I have heard of women's events that did not have God's Word in the center. They are just women getting together, doing crafts, or just hanging out with one another. Sometimes they are only book clubs, but they really don't really study the most important book. I have even heard of them getting together at a church for wine tasting. For us, this is simply something that is not redeeming the time, and it does not build up the women in their understanding of the Lord. As a woman, I am also a wife, mother, and grandmother. I, like you, have a very busy life. I take that into consideration when planning an event, because many of our women also have busy lives, including jobs, and they work daily. I want the women to be spiritually profit when they attend our events. So we make sure that they get good teaching from the Word of God. Paul said in Acts 20:32 that the Word of God's grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all that are sanctified. It is our desire for our women to be built up in God's grace, and for this reason, we emphasize His Word in our events, because His Word reveals God's grace, and when received in faith, it builds you up. As a pastor's wife, I look for spiritually mature speakers who have a heart for women and who communicate His Word with depth and love. Because I have an opportunity of being influenced by Kay Smith, I have grown to appreciate women teachers who do not seek personal attention, but who are actually living out the message that they give to others. Kay has been very strong about women being sober-minded and ministering to God's word with dignity. And that is what I look for in women who influence our ladies. The question is, when the event is over, what did you leave your women with? For me, I want to leave them with an understanding of the word of God, a deeper love for the word for the Lord. And I want them to be encouraged, comforted, given hope, and set free. And this comes through God's word. Our goal is not to have great numbers, though we're blessed when many show up, to our event. But our goal is to make disciples, and this occurs through the teaching of God's word. Our events normally include the second pillar, which is worship. Obviously, worship is not just simply music, because God's word teaches us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But still, because we are saved, God has given us a new song in our hearts, and we love to sing and worship songs to Him. We do not want to simply entertain with a musical guest who may be well known but is not solid in their walks with the Lord. Many times we've had guests lead worship who do not sit in the sanctuary during the teachings. So my husband has instructed the worship leader that they are to encourage the guest musicians to be seated with the people during worship. Part of the problem that we are encountering today when it comes to worship is that people seem to think that worship is simply entertainment. The Jesus movement reintroduced worship, and I was influenced by some of the early worship groups like Love Song, Mustard Seed Faith, Second Chapter of Acts, and even Keith Green. This all shaped my appreciation for what worship actually is. We know that God is worthy of our praise, and John 4:23 tells us that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. We have been created to worship Him above all else. He's worthy of being worshiped, because some think worship is an entertainment and we should be fun or personally satisfying. They look at singing as a talent rather than as an expression of love for God. In our ladies' events, we look for worship leaders who bring us to the throne as we sing. We on occasion have had solo leaders, and over the years have developed women's worship teams. At women's events or retreats, we often have a full worship team that even includes the men, and that has been a blessing. You might find this interesting, but for many years now, my husband has taught at women's retreats. This has become very special to him, as well as the ladies who feel blessed to have their pastor with them, teaching them in a personal way. They love it. They expect him now to show up every time. Now, when it comes to selecting singers or groups for our events, we have found that the key is having leaders who desire to worship God and are not there to show off their talents or to draw attention to themselves. If it is possible, develop your own worship teams, because they are often best reflect the heart of the ministry as they lead worship. One last thing that I should mention. I would not put a novice up in front of a group of women at an event because of the pressure that she would be under. I normally want a seasoned leader because their experience in leading worship helps them to not be a distraction. Sometimes those who are singing or playing instruments are just not ready to. And I have to be honest, I have put a novice and I just felt so sorry for the poor thing. And so we have to be careful on that. The third pillar, witness, is also a reason why we have events. It is to give the women an opportunity of being with other women and developing friendships. We have various opportunities that we give to our women to be involved in, such as women's groups, brunches, retreats, single moms, banquets, and other things. We have also been led to have a women's conference yearly at the church. But all these kinds of events still are intended to emphasize witness. We do not emphasize the event alone, but see it as an opportunity of reaching our community as well as building up relationships within our church family. We have found that special events play an important role in our church. I believe that these events help to strengthen the faith of those attending, and it gives the women an opportunity of serving together, meeting others, and strengthening relationships. Finally, this brings us to witness. Our events such as retreats, breakfasts, and women's conferences are simply an expression of our desire to reach out to the lost and the needy. Again, we do not have these kinds of ministries to take members from other churches, but to minister to those who are saved and can benefit from being equipped, or those who are lukewarm who can be stirred up for Jesus, or those who are not yet saved who can hear the gospel and be given an opportunity of coming to the Lord. Normally, if our main speaker does not give an invitation, I will close the event with one. And I simply share a verse or two and then ask them if they desire to respond. I am always blessed and amazes me to see these women give their hearts to the Lord. And it's such a time of rejoicing because that is just a part of why we have the events, is to rejoice in those who have given their hearts to the Lord, are getting their lives right before Him. Finally, remember that everything that we do should be done unto the Lord. We want Him to receive all the glory. At this time, may I introduce our women's ministry administrator, Connie Green, who will give you the practical aspects of having a women's event. And I'll tell you, she has been such a great help to me. And I am so blessed to have her with us. Connie.
Good morning, ladies.
Yes. Good morning.
It's still morning. It's actually early. I drove down this morning, left at 6:30. And so it seems like my day is about halfway done. I'm going to take a drink of water. So, as Marie said, I'm the administrative coordinator for our Charis Women's Ministry at Calvary Chapel, Chino Valley. And I've served alongside Marie since, in this position since 2011, and I've served in women's ministry since coming to the church. I came in 99, so at 2000 I got involved as a Bible study leader and serving at events. So, and before moving to the Chino area, where serving alongside Marie, my husband Mike and I lived in San Diego, and we were at Horizon Christian Fellowship for 14 years. Kind of gives you a little background. I always like to know a little bit about who is talking to me before they start talking. But this portion of the workshop is, as it mentions in your booklet, we'll look at areas in your event planning that might need maybe a makeover or just a little spruce in order to suitably present Jesus to women of multiple generations. So what we're looking at in a lot of the Calvary churches, some of them are growing older, and then there's some that are very new and young. And then there's kind of what I found in our ministry is that, and what put this so on my heart is that coming into this ministry, the founders of our church, the ladies who built the women's ministry, did such an amazing job. The foundation is just, it's so solid based on things that Marie was sharing. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, that's so true. And as you were going over things. But what happened was, as they were building the women's ministry and growing in the church and as actually builders in the four pillars, these women, they moved on but somehow was not able to to get that second generation. So from about 30 to 45, it's kind of like crickets chirping. Because they moved on. Now they're taking care of grandkids and stepping out of ministry, or maybe just moved away, moved on. Then you have the younger millennials who are like, they're ready, but there's certain ways that they listen and learn, and certain ways that they want to serve. And but at the end of the day, it's we all have the same goal. It's to fall in more in love, more deeply in love with Jesus. We need more of Jesus, and we need more of each other as women. Mm-hmm. So that's been on my heart, and we've been kind of redoing things in our ministry for the last, 3 years or so. And just because it was just right there in our laps, we had to do something. So that's where we'll pick up a multi-generational. We'll dissect and examine strategic areas of event planning, such as beginning with the spirit-led purpose and mission statements, and incorporating thorough area team training. Training is so important. And planning any event, training, and that one thing that frees you up to have other people step in is if you have a good solid system to where they can step in and be trained, especially with young people. They want to pick up things and just tell them what to do, and they will fall in and do it, and add new ideas and things as well. So we'll do that, and third team training, we'll talk about a little bit about that, and we'll also explore current trends in publicity, technology, and decor. Phrases that I often heard when I initially took the position or came in with the in this position was, where are the younger women in our events? How do we get them interested in coming? Yeah, I heard someone say, yeah. We need younger speakers, current, fresh speakers. Our event studies are geared toward older women, married women, saved women. So we're going to look at some of those things. So we'll have, just for this purpose, if you're taking notes, and I still apologize, I don't have handouts. I'm kind of a handout, a very artistic person in that sense. But we're planning our women's event. We just started our Bible studies with several hundred women, and we're having our women's conference next Saturday. So it kind of caught me, and I'm kind of caught in the middle. So, but I will try and have it just enough to where you can take good notes. Okay. So we'll talk about purpose. Prayer, planning, publicity, reviewing and modifying what you've done, and then procreating. So the women. So purpose. Marie had just mentioned purpose, our church purpose. And I was going to start with prayer, but I'm actually, since you did that, I'm going to start with purpose. The why. Purpose is your why. Why do you do your women's events, whether it's conferences or retreats or even your Bible studies? Whatever it is, your specialized events, why do you do them? If your purpose is just that's what we always do, you might need to rethink. And remember, it should be about saving lost souls and drawing women closer to Jesus. It might be time to change the event, but of course the main goals remain the same. So your church purpose, each of you represented a body, a fellowship here, and your fellowship, I know, has a church, has a purpose, has a church statement that Marie was talking about for our church, and that anything you do, whether it's going on a bicycle ride with a group of fellas or having a women's retreat, those things will be included. Ours is the four pillars, as Marie just spoke about. Word, worship, witness, and I think we made up a word, witness. And witness. then our women's ministry scripture and statement is 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. And hence, that's the name of our women's ministry, Charis. And that's, I brought up one of the boards that we use for publicity in our recent conference. Which leads us to the next thing. You also have to have a purpose of your scripture and theme, a purpose there. Ours is strength for this particular conference that's coming up. And making that statement clear, as we came up with the scripture, and we'll talk about prayer and prayed about the scripture and what we wanted to present to our women and to the women, to our fellowship and beyond, that scripture, that word, and then I related it to the speakers that we chose, and we'll talk about choosing speakers as well, but making it clear, this is what we want the women to take away. They need to see the vision as well. So make sure you make your vision clear when you're doing that. So you have to have your theme. Yes.
Do you know where the class that was supposed to be held here that's normally held. It's a Romans class this week. Woman is looking for her class. You don't know?
I don't.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
We're just kind of lost.
So you have to have a purpose for your specific event. And then you need most oftentimes you'll have a refined purpose. And that is now in this day and time for us, we're always looking to include younger women in the planning of events, or the studies, or women of multi-generations. We want to strategically place older and younger together. So I'm always thinking that when I'm planning events now, is to, in the planning and the prayer and anything we do, to pair, to mix women up, the generations up, not just to have the older women or not just to have the younger women. We need to include everybody. So with that, so the purpose, your church purpose, your women's ministry purpose or statement, and then a specific event, what your theme will be, what you're trying to project to the women or portray. And then your, and then if you have for us, right now is making sure that we blend these generations in anything that we do. The second thing is prayer. It's actually the first thing, and it's the second and the third and the last, and how many ever numbers you have. But with prayer, of course, we know not to attempt anything for the Lord without first seeking His direction and then being obedient to operating in the power of His Holy Spirit, not getting ahead. Marie and I were just talking last week as we were kind of going over things, is that you don't know me, but I don't take myself very seriously, but I take this ministry very seriously because I know that I have to answer to the Lord for this. And I take these women that the Lord has entrusted me to come before every day, whether it's every week in Bible studies or whatever, I take their lives seriously. So that's the key. You have to have a heart for your women. And you have to have a heart for the Lord. Before you contact the speaker for any large, for any event, large or small, choose whether you choose the next study or sign a contract for a retreat center. We've just done that, stepped out in faith, and we're doing a retreat at a different location. And I'm scared, but God's not. So I don't want to think about that. I start to shake right now. I'll be here now. Before you do any of that, you need to pray for God's guidance. Jesus said it best in Matthew 7:7, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. And in that scripture, there's levels. You have your intensity to ask. And then you have the next level is your passion to to search. And then that next level, that persistence to keep knocking. And simply asking, you make your request known to God. Lord, and pray big. Pray big. Don't pray small. And the Lord will put you in where He wants you. But, you know, we're getting speakers and doing things that, you know, it's just amazing. I'm calling up, this little old me calling up this woman, and then you get this, sometimes she answers the phone, Ann Spangler, hello. I'm like, oh, hi. Or whoever the speaker might be. But, don't say, oh, we're just a little tiny church, or we're just this, or we're just that. Don't even say we're just. Just say, God, what do you want me to do? Let's go. Let's do this. Asking, simply make a request known to God, and everyone who asks receives. Receiving is the reward for asking. Then when you're seeking, we're searching after God, His word, His will, not after having the biggest event or the fanciest event or the more Pinteresty looking thing. And I like Pinterest though. But we're searching after God, His word and His will for these women. And he who seeks finds. Finding is a reward for seeking. And then knocking, you knock until the door is open and we seek entrance into the great heavenly realm. It's very humbling. As in planning any event, when you start to see things, it's almost in my mind, and I'm very visual. Once you get through that, get that door open and the prayer process, it's like things just start to float. I don't want to like wig you ladies out, but things just start to float around and they start coming together. You'll get somebody call. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You'll get someone. For instance, we're having a speaker for Christmas, and I called Marie, it'd been in my heart. I says, what if we get Darlene Sayla? What if we ask, can I ask her? She goes, yeah, go for it. And they had been at our church for a couples conference, her and her husband, she and her husband. And so I went over to pastor's secretary and says, hey, I need Darlene Sayla's information, contact information. I've had my speakers for the last 2 years booked. I had nobody for Christmas. Things would happen. I had two people fall off the books. And because it's very liberating because the Lord had somebody else. So I asked her for that contact information. She goes, oh, yeah, she gave this to me when she was here. She wants to speak at a Christmas event. That was amazing. I don't know why I always get, I just had so much fun doing this. So makes me look really smart, and I'm not. I just love the Lord. But anyway, and I went back to my desk. I immediately got on the phone, talked to her assistant. She answered. She was right there. She goes, let me check to make sure she's in town. Call me back that afternoon. She's in town. She's going to be at our Christmas event. That's who God had. But just things just start to just connect. And just, you know, just because I'm praying and because I'm being, wanting to be obedient to the best of my ability to stay in line with Him. There will be resistance, whether it's booking a speaker or getting a venue or starting a class that the Lord has put in your heart to start for women that's had abortions or just different things. Whether, no matter what, there will be resistance. That's why we have to knock, because if it was easy, we wouldn't have to knock. The door would be open already. So always keep that in mind. If you have a prayer team, get them praying as quickly as possible for any events. Always have at the forefront of your mind a vision of multi-generational group of women, and that God has something. Know that God has something special for all ladies who will attend your Bible study or conference or retreat or your specialized class. Even when you get ideas from other places, we get Bible studies from other churches. We get ideas. A lot of your churches, I'm perusing all the time on the internet, looking at women's events, who's speaking where, and just all that. Just knowing what the temperature is in the women's ministry in the Calvaries and outside of Calvaries. You know, you're always a student of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But even when you get ideas from other places, don't rely on them to make your event successful. Mm-hmm. Rely on the Lord. Okay, so planning. The next thing is planning. So we talked about purpose, prayer, and now we're going to talk about planning. In this particular workshop, I'm not going to go in depth on how to plan an event. I'll keep my focus on inclusion of multi-generations in key categories as you plan your event. So in planning, you have your budget, your speakers, your dates, your venues, your worship, your special events. We have a special events team. Depending on how that might be you and a few other ladies, but you do need someone that's all on the same page. Special events team, the overseers of those, for detailed tasks such as setup, teardown, hostesses, ushers, work days, prayer team, will call information for your window or table, day of ticket sales. So we'll start with the speakers. First and foremost, your speakers, as Marie mentioned earlier, they need to be doctrinally sound. And every now and then you're going to get, it just happens. If you do many events, you're going to get someone that was a little off and you finish and like, what just happened? Yeah, that happens sometimes. But that should be the exception and not the rule. You do research, you read the book, read a couple books of theirs, or you listen to, I'm listening to teachings all the time. What a great job. Listening to teachings and just listening for, if they've spoken at other Calvaries or they're on the circuit, you kind of look and see who's on the circuit, and then you still listen to their last couple of teachings sometimes, because sometimes people go off in a different direction if you haven't heard them in a long time. So just always be aware, and both of us, I'll listen, I'll say, Marie, listen to this. She'll come in, and we'll listen to portions of teachings and things, or she'll hear someone that has taught when she's on the East Coast or somewhere, so we need to have her. And 1 year we had our conference all set to go, all the speakers. She went somewhere, came back and says, we got to have this lady. I'm like, so when she's going to speak, Marie, at midnight? So, but we got her in, and she was amazing. Just one of those things where to just allow the Lord to move. But Patty, when you went back to the conference again, yeah. We got to have her. I'm like, okay. We're tapped out of the budget with this and that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, she's awesome. Anyway, So first and foremost, doctrinally sound. Make sure they understand your goal, purpose for the event. Now, I sent out to our speakers that we had even just recently our goal and purpose with the scripture. They always give them the scripture. And then they will send back oftentimes, this is kind of what I'm working on. And with we have Ann Spangler coming out for our conference, and she sent back just a little synopsis of both of her teachings. It's going to just write on. It's like, thank you, Lord. This is going to be great. Just speaking to the women about just being confident in who they are in Christ. And because we do so much in our own strength. I was just telling the speakers, we as women oftentimes, we get going and we try and do so much in our own strength. And then we just get wiped out. We get physical, emotional illnesses sometimes, and we just get burnt out, or we just get frustrated, and it ought not be that way. Not all the time. You're going to, that happens. But so that's kind of the gist of where we went. She came back, and then Christy Duff, who's going to be speaking at our conference, she emailed me one Saturday afternoon and said, hey, I'm working on this, and communication. I get so, I fall in love with our events, with the people, the ladies, the communicating with them. Then when it's over, I'm like, okay, I gotta get ready for Christmas though, you know. But you do, because that's your little world at that time. So, but yeah, make sure they understand your goal and are on board to try and go with that, because it's not my goal really. It's what God has shown us that He wants the women for such a time as this to be given. She needs to be a teacher. Our late speaker that's coming, she said, I don't know, it looks like your event, how I communicated what we're doing with our conference, it looks like this is going to be, you want someone that's more motivational and more kind of a cheerleader. And I'm like, oh no, you don't know our church. We're a Bible teaching church. We need teachers, and you are it. No, we need you. And so that was one of those little blessings that, you know, she's a teacher. She wants to teach relevant, passionate, and you want someone who's engaging. So if you can get all those, that's a great speaker. Sometimes you get three out of the four, but that's what you should shoot for. And if you have multiple speakers, try and get a mixture of younger and older, maybe a mixture of styles, and a mixture, maybe one maybe popular, there you can get one or two that's maybe not popular, one that's, so just kind of make sure that you can try and cover that. So that you'll have people learn in different ways and different styles, and some are visual, some are more linear. So just keep in mind, if you have multiple speakers, to look at that, and especially with the multi-generationals, trying to hit everybody. Let's see. Workshop leaders or Bible study facilitators, don't be hesitant to place younger ladies in these roles. I think that's kind of what we fell into a little bit. We were just kind of hesitant. Throw them in there. If they're doctrinally sound and you've seen them, so within your church, younger, we have 26-year-olds leading Bible studies. Now, that was probably wouldn't have happened years ago. Melody, the young lady that works at our church, is solid, and she has younger ladies in her Bible study. But, I was teaching to 30, going around teaching at conferences and things. That's how I met Marie, speaking at our church. But I was old then. Let's see. Speakers and teachers. So the next thing within planning is your special events team. If you have an overseer or women who are on board with the goal of inclusivity, you want to keep in mind we're working on multi-generational. With your ushers, your hostesses, your setup and tear down, your work days, your prayer team, your will call windows of information, you must train intensively. Make sure we're going through that with our photographers right now. You just think that, people just take pictures. No, when you look at sets of pictures, there are certain things that you want and that you don't want. There's certain protocol. If they take pictures for us for our events, they need to make sure that they can make the commitment to go home and get those edited and get them to our guide by Sunday morning. That's just part of what you commit to, so that we can, we do have someone that live feeds on social media as we're having an event with pictures and things and showing the ladies, hey, we're about to get ready, that kind of thing. But make sure you have, we're making just a set of guidelines for our photographers right now. But any area for your hostesses, for your ushers, don't think that people just know how to usher. It's stressful getting that bucket across the room and different things and have, you know, the different layers and stuff. So set up training for everything. The better you train, the small things that we think are small things that are not, small things can railroad your event, can just mess it up totally. It's not taken care of. Train intensively. It plays a vital role in creating a successful event. Proper training allows you, as I mentioned earlier, to be more inclusive in recruiting servants, volunteers. So when you have things set, they can just fit in and they'll know what to do, and it's just guidance of the overseer. Have clear objectives that represent Christ, your pastor, and the women's ministry. So there's just certain ways that you do things, and you make sure they understand that when women are coming on your campus, you're representing your pastor. They don't say, and you're representing your women's ministry. They don't say that Sally was rude or whatever. They said that event at Calvary Chapel Chino Valley, Pastor David's church, or that women's ministry, you know, that women's ministry, you want them to say, oh, we love going there because when we go there, we're going to be blessed, we're going to be fed, we're going to have fun, we're going to be challenged, we're going to be convicted, all that. There's your sister. Then we have, you want to have clear objectives and represent Christ, your pastor, your women's ministry. Create a fun atmosphere of ministry. If it is the appropriate thing to do, make sure it's fun. There's some things that are just not fun. Some of your specialized classes, but still it can be a safe haven, a nice place, a refreshing place for them to come. We have a ministry called, what's Patty's ministry called? Under His Wings. Put you on the spot. Yeah. Under His Wings. It's tough ministry. These women love this ministry. Their husbands struggle with pornography or affairs. They are living a tough life. And this ministry, we usually have about 35 women. But the lady who oversees that, it's a safe place for these women. They know that they're going to get challenged to do what they know they need to do and not blame everything on their husband. I helped edit the curriculum for it, and I was just amazed. But if it's a conference or retreat, make it fun. You know, women, we're under a lot of stress nowadays. Well, we're always just so many things that we're doing. When we get away, like with our witness, when we get with each other, make it be worth their while. They're going to get the word. They're going to get good worship, and we'll talk about that. But let it be fun. Oftentimes, women don't have enough fun. You know, other people are going, yeah. So, anyway, so that's a fun atmosphere. Let's see, work days, if you have work days of putting things together, days or evenings, so do both if you can, because oftentimes during the day when you have work days to put together, you know, bracelets or whatever you might have for some event, then you get your millennials, they're working, or they're in school, or ladies at work, they can't attend that. So whenever you do something, keep in mind that you want to include, like Marie was saying, you know, the of both sides. Let's see. Strategically place ladies of specific generations in positions. Example, with your ushers. Have younger women and have older women. One of the things that we're doing for our conference, we have our prayer team who, we have a prayer room, and they're praying before the conference, throughout the conference, after the conference. They're in this little room. So one of the things that we're going to do is we invited some of the younger ladies in the younger Bible studies to go in, to commit to an hour of going in with these women and praying so they can see that part, just the mixing of them together. We have a will call window in what we call our gazebo. We have the younger women in there alongside ladies that are seasoned. So we just want to mix them together because oftentimes it's just the fear of not knowing that generation. I know when I grew up, there was always an older woman that was, whether it's your grandma or your aunt so-and-so, that was always at the house. And, you know, that was just part of life. But nowadays, you have younger people that just don't communicate with older people and vice versa. So you want to strategically place them together as you're planning your events. And then you have your prayer, pair young and old together as hostesses, ushers, prayer team. One of the biggest spiritual growth spurts that I had was I was with Ruth Osborne, Mike McIntosh's mother. She taught me how to pray. I was 23, 24 years old. And I'd come during the day, and I was working. I just had a business at the time, but I could make that time free. And I'd sit in there with those old ladies, and we'd pray for the church. I loved it. So it was just some of the sweetest. That was a sweet time in my life. And also the challenge that this lady who had just, she was a tough lady. And I told her, because I was a horrible Bible study student. I would get day five done, day four done, and that was it. You know, or so I was telling her I struggle with the Bible studies, and I have this preconceived notion a lot of younger women have. They're just going to be talking about their hot flashes and their husbands, and, you know, none of me. But she told me, if you have a problem with the Bible study, you have a problem with Jesus. You need to look in your heart. Okay. And I did. So you get that challenge sometimes from the older ladies, from the younger women with the older ladies. And then invite younger ladies to pray with your team for specific events as far as your prayer team. We have what we call a mother's room for events. And we have a pair of ladies. Their kids are married to each other, June and Margie. Yeah, I think their kids are married. And we put them in our mother's room. They're so sweet with those young mamas in there that are just getting out probably sometimes for the first time to an event, an all-day event. And that we put them in there to love on those young mamas. And so just things like that, always be thinking. Don't assume anything when you're planning an event or when you're putting together a class. Always be thinking about the women and what God would have for them. That's to be just in you all the way through and through. It's the women. It's not about you. It's not about me. And then we had, let's see. Well, that's it. That basically, we had Melody, one of the younger Bible study leaders, addressed the women at the end of the year to encourage them about summer, not taking off on summer. You can't take off from the Lord. Here she is, 26 years old, 28 years old, and she's addressing these women about being in study, you know, with other ladies, or just doing something on your own during the summer, not taking a break just because Bible study's over. So don't be afraid to do things like that. And she did a great job. She was scared. I said, that's a good place for you. So that means you'll definitely rely on the Lord. So now let's move on to the other P, publicity. Your themes, your graphics, to always, of course, be scripture-based. You always want to always have current trends. Always be looking at what's going on. Whether it's some things on TV, whatever. Always look at the trends. And when you're doing your graphics, I have some, you can look at some of these things here. Some of the things are just from movie sets, and we just did a whole movie thing. Some, I was on vacation looking at a magazine, a perfume ad, and I totally ripped it off just enough to where I wasn't infringing on the, I was waiting, I was so glad when that was over, no one knocked on my door and was going to throw me in jail. But, you always be thinking, you know, looking as you're looking at things, pictures and current movies and things like that. Current trends, and then it might even have throwbacks. We did a 60s theme one time. Some resident hippies that we have on. All You Need Is Love, psychedelic. It was so cool. Yeah, Pastor David, he was all in that one. He was. And Pinterest is your friend. Let's see, my Pinterest page is amazing, I have to tell you. But we had some dough. We did donuts on a stick and made flower centerpieces from them. I just happened to see someone posted it, and I thought, we can do that for our event. We don't have a centerpiece. It'll work. And it was a hit. No one ate the donuts, though. I mean, they're to eat. We had a lot of donuts left, didn't we? Yeah, that's too cute to eat. So always just try and be current. Look at Pinterest, magazines, retail, ad trends. Peruse stores, like you get to go to Hobby Lobby because you're serving the Lord. So, honey, I'm going to Hobby Lobby to serve the Lord. Get some ideas. Google, if you have a theme, Google, say images of 2 Peter 3:18 or whatever, and you'll be amazed what the Almighty Google might have for you. Yell out of your shaking your head. Theme names in your scripture. With your graphics and your theme, ladies, the trend now is just simple. One word, two words, strength, I don't know, come to me or whatever. Just be as simple and as clean as possible. Let's see. And then one or two word titles. promotion and advertising, and we're wrapping up here. For your social media, people are on social media, so you need to be too. Your ministry needs to be on social media, because I always look at it as so much junk is on social media. We can't let them take that over. We can have the word on there from our ministry. We minister. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Now, you're going to get Facebook is people like me and most of us in this room, because the younger people, they got off because we are on the show and our pictures of our kids and grandkids and putting so much scripture that they're on Instagram and they're over on Snapchat now. We ran them away. But still, there's the mass of your ministries and Facebook, Instagram, an Instagram account. And there's probably some people that can help you if you don't have that, and a Twitter account. And your church has all this as well, more than likely. Meet them where they are. You have that social, create a story for your ministry on Facebook and Instagram. Have your ladies share the link. When we have an event, we get the link up as soon as we start promoting it, and we have the ladies, all of our women's leaders, share it on their page. That's more women that say. We do a lot of grassroots things as well. You know, we have radio advertising, the norm. Now that worked. And this time, starting last Christmas, I started buying Facebook. You know those annoying ads, sponsored?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we're there. And it's gotten so much more coverage. You can pick the areas that you want to hit. So, and it's very inexpensive. I hit Total Inland Empire, Ontario, Chino Hills, Fontana. I went as far as, I didn't come this far. I might have. Anyway, it was like $100. And I actually split it 50 for Instagram and 50 for Facebook. And what it does is that amount, had I done $100 for just one, it would have increased the amount of times that it was showed during the day. Because with that amount, I've been kind of watching it hits about twice a day. And for the length I'm doing it for 2 weeks, it'll run through Wednesday. Started 2 weeks ago. So things like that, find out how that stuff works. And if it will benefit you, and I believe it will, use it. I know some of you said, I don't like Facebook. And, you know, that's another way also to see where your women are. You see what they post. You do. You have a great Instagram, Facebook. But that's where they are. So you want to actually, be there. Meet them where they are. And then once you do that, when we have an event, that day, I have a photo backdrop that, you know, when you go, you look at the Hollywood things or you look at sports things, they'll have this backdrop that has like Ford Motor Company or whatever all over, just like all over it, whatever the corporation that's sponsoring it. Well, we did that for our conference that we had it made. And it's a photo op area. They'll stand in front of it. It just has little logos of the red shoes, and it has strength and it has the scripture, but it's all over it. It just covers it. And then we'll have that sign with our hashtags on it. And then we have on the screens before the church, and if I do the announcements before the event starts, our hashtags. We have hashtag Karis2017 on anything that the ladies do. If they're out having coffee and they want to just do, because they're doing these things, so incorporate the Lord in it. Mm-hmm. And only because you can reach more women that way. Mm-hmm. You can reach more women for Christ. And so they have this backdrop, and then I have that, and it'll have all of our hashtags. It's hashtag your picks. So that'll be flooding the marketplace, this fun event that will get ladies, oh, I want to go to that. And they'll come and they'll hear Jesus and they'll draw closer to the Lord, or they'll be saved. They'll get saved or whatever. That's why we do that. And if you don't like social media, that's okay. But like I was going to say before I got sidetracked, I sidetracked myself, that's a good way to see where your ladies are, see what they're posting, see how they, you know, we've seen some things that I've had to message, say, hey, really? Mm-hmm. You know, just look at what you wrote. And she's your leader, one of your leaders or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's helps you keep a pulse on the ladies. You know, kind of even when they have Pinterest pages, you're kind of seeing where they are, what they're, you know, what they're about. You find some things when they're out sometimes, like, and you have to call them in for a meeting and talk to them or whatever. So use it as a ministry tool. And then, let's see, social media, create your story. Have your ladies share the link to the event. Create an Insta story. Tag when they put it up on Facebook. Then I go in that night at the retreats or whatever, and I'll tag so-and-so. Tagging is just getting their name on there as their friend of the page. And then what happens is their friends see that whole event, and that makes them interested. At least they have been exposed to what happened at that retreat. All the pictures that were taken, all the speakers that were videos and speakers, and what they taught about. And I told you about buying the InstaPost, the space, that annoying sponsor page. And use your free media outlets. If your event is a non-paid, if they don't pay for it, like a conference, use that. You're free. You can get the radio stations. They'll put it on their websites or give you an opportunity to go in and post the information on their websites. Sometimes they will actually verbally announce your event frequently, more often than you think. And but only if it's not paid. If it's a paid event, then that you can't use a free. And do your hashtags. We talked about that for your events and ministries. Like for our women's conference, hashtag WC2017, and everyone will hashtag that. And of course, you have your churches as well. And then Karis CCV. That's the way. So that's another way to achieve your main goal: reach more women for Christ via your scriptures, your announcements. Because the more people you get looking at your pages, you're reaching more people for Christ. For your Bible studies, your church bulletins, putting that on your pages so they can see what's going on at your church, and their posts. Dates and venues, just make sure you hold studies, events, and venues that younger and older ladies would enjoy and want to attend. The larger your fellowship, the more difficult, the more of a challenge that becomes. But make sure that you're thinking of the women, trying to get them together. And fun, pleasant atmosphere of your venues. Make sure you consider the dates and times that accommodate younger ladies' schedules. We talked about that a little bit. Your activities for younger generations. Do things like group hiking, workout classes. At our retreats, we have a workout class, which I heard just almost killed people this year. I told the lady who led it, Karina, I said, I want everybody to make it back to Chino from that class, please. And they made it, barely. And we have a walking Patty back there. She usually heads up our fellowship walk. But include things that any other people, that all people would like to do. And then, with that, activities for younger generation, group hiking, some Bible studies on their day off, they go hiking, workout classes, fun fellowship walks at retreats, movies, how-tos, Pinterest parties. Marie usually, sometimes in the summer, we do an event. We have the crafters in one room, and then we have Marie and some of the ladies doing recipes. That's always a fun thing for the ladies to do. I don't like to cook and I don't like to craft, so I just kind of walk around and smile. Make sure everything's okay and wait till it's time to eat. Let's see what else here. And then worship. First and foremost, heart, like Marie was saying, you want to get people to have a heart of worship, not someone who's just good. You want them to be able to carry a tune, but you want them to have a heart. You want them to be a worship leader. A worshiper, not an entertainer. You want them to be current, and you want them to be talented. But the heart for the Lord is the most important. Bring in your younger worship leaders from your fellowship or even outside. We're doing that a lot more now. Having young lady that's coming in, she's fairly new to our church, but she's doing high school right now. So I'm having to come in to Tuesday morning Bible studies. And sometimes, you just have to take a chance. You can't be afraid to fail, because failure is also part of growing spiritually and strength in any way. That's part of it. You have to realize that. And Marie and I, we did bring on one of our younger girls for a retreat. It was too much. It was too much for her. And we stood there and cried. They thought we were just worshiping the Lord. We were feeling bad for her. No, I'm just kidding. anyway, let's see. Don't be afraid to use the younger girls for worship. Just put them together, and I'm going to stop. We have, they said I have about 5 minutes. 1 Timothy 5:2, treat older women as you would your mother if you're younger. Treat younger women, if you're older, with all purity as you would your own sisters. Titus 2:3, of course, simply assembly teaches older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. What happens when you're pairing younger and older women, it also keeps us older women sharper too. Keeps us with our back up straighter, because we know they're looking at us and we want them to see Jesus. So where we might tend to get lax when we're around each other more and we have the younger girls in our presence, we stand up, and just because it's in you to do that. So it works both ways, and we never want our older women, because that happens nowadays. You hear the younger movement. You never want your older women to feel not needed, because women, we tend to do that anyway. When the kids are grown and, you know, whatever, you feel like you're less than. And you don't want that, because we need that wisdom. We need those life experiences. For these young girls, I have a 26-year-old daughter, and who I must say I just enjoy her thoroughly. But I always tell her, you don't know everything. As a matter of fact, you'll never know more than me. And then my 22-year-old millennial, with him, it's like, just listen, because you won't learn anything if you're not listening. But yeah, it's just, we need each other, ladies. We need each other. We all need more Jesus, and we need each other so that we can be stronger. We have growth in friendship, growth in prayer when we're praying together, breaks down barriers, growth in skills. Older women can maybe help one of the younger ladies start a business or different things, just a mentoring, whole spiritual mentoring. And I've been watching one church that's doing a mentoring program. As a matter of fact, my daughter was going to, I looked on their website and I saw my daughter. I'm like, wait, yeah, she looks like, this person looks like me. Who is that? And she ends up choosing not to because her schedule and traveling and everything. But I'm just really bummed her out, because I've always taught my kids to always look. They look at their dad and me, but look for other people, like your mom's friends or your someone in the church that you can look at as well. And so that's, I always think that's very important. We should always be mentoring someone as a woman, always be, have a mentor. It should always be a threefold thing. So, and with that, I'm going to go ahead and close. I thank you, ladies, for your attention. And I hope, I have a couple more scriptures. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. Millennials like friendships. We have some in our church. We speak of them as those people, but we have them in our church. They group. They do things in groups. They go out together and do things. They work together. They love to do things in groups. They like friendships. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the older ladies, we've grown to do things alone. Yeah. But we need to link that and keep that in mind. They will do anything for you if they can do it. They come in gangs. No, but yeah, twos, threes, and they have fun. So that's that. So I'm going to close with questions. If questions for either of us? Yes. They'll turn it off upstairs. I think it slides in there. Sorry, guys.
It's a clip.
Oh, there we go. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. You had mentioned the center phrase. What exactly does that look like?
Who in here? I was watching Garden Fellowship. Where is she? Christy. Pinterest parties can be two things. One is you can get together and just work on your Pinterest page and talk about things that you have on your page. Ladies love that. I guess I will use this. Other things is when we have, oftentimes we will have things that we'll build or put together for our events. And we kind of call it a Pinterest party because it's a DIY kind of thing. Yeah. We had anchors for our last event, and we had Lord had given me a vision of getting 2x4s and cutting them and making stands. And I was doing ministry at Hobby Lobby, and I saw these anchors, and we bought them, and we glued them on, and it was so much fun, and just getting together and doing that, and we put things up. And yeah. Any other questions for either of us?
Yes. Do you have different boards within women's ministry? Do you have a steering board, a decoration board, an event board? How do you group the women so that they, one, you have to have a senior board, but then you have to have that, make sure everything stays on track. Mm-hmm. But how do you group the women so that things get done?
So things are driven. We have a group of ladies. We don't do really boards. We have a group of women who built this thing that know a lot about the ministry, the heart of women. Mm-hmm. So I'll pull certain ones in for retreats, and I might pull another group in who we're planning pulling together a Bible study. But as far as events, we have what we call a special events team. And we have two ladies, Shelly, Barr, and Natalie. They, once we get the vision and everything, we meet with them. And they have sign-ups. We get sign-ups for our hostesses and ushers, and they coordinate all of that. Our setup and teardown team, where we go out and get the guys. We actually had a team that we're trying to put together another one. But they oversee all the logistics. Once they get direction from me, and they put it to work. It's amazing, special events team. And they, and for a conference, they have probably about 75 women, and they have everything. They have ushers. What else, Patty? We have bathroom refreshers. Just every little detail, and it's training. It's training, ladies. When Patty gets someone in the bathroom refreshers, they sign up and they know what to do. They have it down. So yeah. So just each category, you would have someone oversee it. Yes.
So especially, you consider a special event like the women's conference that you do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those would be they'd be one and the same as far as the structure. Yeah.
I feel like we're just kind of starting out in some ways, and we don't have anybody that's like a graphics designer.
Oh.
And that's so I'm trying to teach myself maybe. And so what programs do you use, and do you buy I'm looking at everything like font wise and all of that. Because I'm not someone that's in that.
Yeah, neither am I. I come up with the idea. We have a graphic artist, designer who gets in my head and can see what I'm thinking. I can give you her name.
No,
I can give you our graphic artist sign.
For like 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can help you. I just come up with the idea, then I go to them. Really.
Okay.
But yeah, sure, I'll answer. But I will give you their names, Samantha and Gwen, at our church.
Okay.
And they would be so happy to help you. Because when Gwen starts talking that stuff, font, okay, that's the letter, right? You know, that's where I am. But yes, sure. Yes.
When you're talking about events, are you talking about all church events coordinator or women's ministry event?
Women's ministry for me.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question. I'm from the East Coast, and it's a little bit more challenging getting women speakers for retreats, conferences, and we're not a big church. So that's been a big struggle for me, and I'd be welcome to ideas on that. I mean, every year I do like a tea or I do a one-day retreat, and it's like I literally rack my brain trying to find somebody. Any thoughts on that? I mean, I wish there was a list that went out on the West Coast and East Coast of different...
That's a good idea, Marie.
That's a good idea, and I'll bring that up. You know, where do you live?
I'm in Columbia, South Carolina. So, even in my community, it's tough. It's so tough. They don't want to hear me again.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So, you know, but God somehow, you know, I've gotten a few of the wives from some of the Calvaries, but sometimes I'm branching. Like you mentioned, know them. I had one lady that I didn't know very well, and I asked her, and she said, I'm not a speaker, but she says, I know God has given me, a message. And, you know, I just thought, what can I do with that? And like you said, it's okay if it happens like that, you just go with it. So, and she literally, you know, got up there, and what she shared was good, but it was not more like a delivery, a speech. And
yeah.
I know God still used it because it was the word, but it wasn't like some of the things that you're mentioning. As far as somebody who, I forgot where it was at, passionate, engaging, those things. But, you know, again, you know, it's one of those things where I stepped out and I had never even heard it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't like to get into that too much because God's word will not return void. But that was one of those times when I was like, okay, I really need to make sure that. But I'm very limited, so.
Can I ask you a question? Yes. Are you familiar with any Calvaries around?
Yes, I am.
Ladies?
And I have used some of them, but, you know, it'd be the next year and you're like...
Oh, yeah, Patty.
So,
yeah, Patty Height.
She's right in that area. I mean, she'd fly down there, no problem.
Yeah, I take ideas of different women.
That would be a good idea to bring up to the board, to have a list of people.
You know, we're a small church in southern Utah. We've been there. I came from Calvary, Fort Lauderdale 17 years ago. And my husband's a pastor, and we got Diesel and Johanna to do a lady retreat with, and I got Sandy McIntosh last year.
Oh.
It was the Lord.
Oh,
wow. I really pray because it's
pray big.
God opening the door for you.
And I think And like I think Sandy will go anywhere too. Yeah, I mean, she will.
She's
go.
No respecter of one.
Right. Yeah. You know. Right. So don't think that because you're a small fellowship, people won't come.
I just was thinking more about affordability too, because you know there is some.
Well, I know, and I understand that, and I would be really upfront. You know, with your speech, you know, and say, you know what,
okay.
This is where we're at. Mm-hmm. You know.
I think it's what our pastor's wife does is she finds out that somebody's speaking in a church in the area, and we piggyback on her.
Yeah, and we've done that. Yes, we've done that. We've had speakers come in.
Somebody's out here already.
Yeah.
And then, oh, well, you're going over there. Oh, can't you come over here?
That's why
that
normally
saves you a lot of airplane fares and stuff like that.
That's why we changed our conference date. So usually it's the week after the pastor's wife. So because I thought, Marie, the East Coast pastors or wives are here.
Yeah.
They're coming already.
See,
so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they flipped on me, and then they tricked me. They asked me to come here. Like, wait, this is backfire.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know we're about out of time. It's a couple more, then we need to probably wrap it up.
Harvey?
Where would your women's retreat be at? You said you were planning on changing the location for your women's retreat.
For our women's retreat,
we were going to La Quinta, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have ladies that are, we have a lot of older ladies, mm-hmm. you know, and it's difficult to be in a, for them with, you know, well, my back's not good. They're not great, I mean, but, they have a hard time sleeping, uh-huh. you know, here, uh-huh. you know, bunk beds.
We're going to the Doubletree in Long Beach this time.
Yeah, I know.
Just
we looked at that.
Overnight retreat.
We looked at that.
So it's like, you know, the food's so great mm-hmm. here. You know, you love that, mm-hmm. you know, about, you know, and yet, you know, it's time. And sometimes we have gone someplace and then come back too. So we've done different things,
yeah.
you know. It's not always been, you know, here, always, you know. But, you know, we've done, and I've done it at our church, too. I've done our own thing, you know. I've done our own thing, and we thought, okay, let's just do it at our church. We'll do it one day, or we've even done a two-day.
Two-day on campus retreat.
We did a two-day retreat, you know.
Yeah, those are great.
Right at the church. And
we're going to take one more, and then it's 10, 12. We probably should
wrap up. How long does it take for you to get your scripture theme? The scripture for the retreat together.
I'm sorry, how does it?
How long does it usually take? You guys get together and pray, and pray, and
it comes different ways. Sometimes Marie can be somewhere and say, this is what she'll just text me. This is what we should do. Let's pray about this. Or sometimes I'm reading, I'm having a devotion, and I'm like, this would be great. And then we'll bounce it off each other, and then we'll start praying.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have two or three. And pray.
Yeah.
But always be thinking and always be looking to minister to the women.
Mm-hmm. God has always been faithful.
Yeah.
And everything.
We even had last year for the conference. Marie was out of town for like 3 weeks, and I had gotten the name of the thing, and everything was done, all on the radio, everywhere. And she said, oh, that's the name of it? I thought it was Love Defined. Is Love Described? Oh. I'm like, well, yeah, it is. And it was amazing.
You know?
Yeah, so sometimes we don't even know what it is. Anyway,
you want to pray?
Well, I'll just pray because we're
terrible.
Lord, thank you for this time together with these. I love these women who represent ministries, Father. That God, that you would move in their women's ministry, Father, in a powerful way, Father. That your Holy Spirit would just grab hold of the ladies, that they would desire to meet together with your Word in the forefront, Lord. That they would just develop, you know, the women would be women of God and want to serve in their churches too, Lord. Provide leaders, Lord, for them, servants, Lord. Just women who want to be used by you, Lord. And each ministry represented, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would be with their husbands as well, Lord. Oh, God, may their ministry grow, Lord, that your name would be proclaimed, Father, and that all of us would be used to be women of the Word, women who love you, Lord. And, Father, that we would make a difference in this world. We thank you and we praise you.
for these women that are here. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know.